I have never lost a bet more quickly that I've come to the realization that I got no shot. None. Zero. Nada. Zilch of TCU plus 12 and a half. I never thought for a second TCU was going to win this game. But I thought maybe backdoor cover. I took it last week plus 12 and a half. This is 24 to 7 right now with 90 seconds to go in the first half. And Georgia is a yard away from scoring another touchdown. Stetson Bennett has two rushing touchdowns, has a passing touchdown. And when TCU's defense held Georgia to a field goal to make this game 10-0 and answer back with a touchdown to make it 10-7, that seemed like it was 10 years ago. But TCU's now going to call their first timeout because Georgia has the ball at the one, and they're going to try to quickly, after they allow a touchdown, go get it back. And when you do that, you'll probably turn the football over to the other team. So they're going to take a TV timeout. This is Georgia with the ball at TCU's one. They are up 24-7. And Hickey, it is impossible when I watch this game to not think about the Alabama-Notre Dame national title game where Notre Dame had an unbelievable season, really like a magical year. TCU, unbelievable season, magical year. I know Notre Dame, it was no playoff back then, so they didn't win a semifinal game where TCU did, and you saw what TCU did up against Michigan, and we know how good of a season Michigan had. But for TCU to get blown out right now, 24-7, on the verge of this being worse than what that score reads, 1 yard away, all I could think about, and I know as much as we like to make fun of you double-dipping years ago, Penn State and Notre Dame, and I know you're now all in on Penn State because you went there, but you grew up as a Notre Dame fan. You probably remember that national title game or hope to forget it when Notre Dame just got destroyed by the Alabama Crimson Tide. That is the only thing I could think about right now because it feels like this is Alabama against Notre Dame right now when you look at what Georgia is doing to TCU.
And not to like divert it, but it also goes to show you, like, we've been pretty blessed. Like, we complain a lot, and I'm in this too, in terms of like, oh, the playoff games are blowouts and not fun. We have gotten usually a lot of great college football playoff, like championship games.
Big thanks to Alabama and Clemson.
Right. True. Yeah. But, you know, we've had Ohio, LSU, Clemson was a solid game. Blanking, Georgia, Alabama last year was a great game. Like, we've had good Florida State, Auburn. As well, like we've had great ones. It's just now, unfortunately, like I said, when you kind of get into this point where you're looking at 24, maybe 31 nothing in the first half, yeah, it's good and bad that we can kind of have one in the back of the brain so fast, but at least it's been a decade and not, you know, 2 years ago that we're having some sort of blowout all over again. But
yeah, the LSU against the LSU Nash, that wasn't a close game, LSU Clemson.
There, Clemson's hanging in, but LSU controls the game. It wasn't like anywhere near like this, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay, if you want to say it that way. We've seen our fair share of good and bad in the college football playoffs, and a lot of times you do see a lot of blowouts. Now, not to this extent. I'm totally cognizant of that. But usually, that's why I keep on saying, and I hate to go back to this argument, but it never seems like we need more than four teams. We know why we are going to four teams. To 12 teams, that's because it's all about money, and that's going to happen not next year, but the year after that. But it usually seems like just to get to four is already so much of a problem. Now we're going to have 12 teams. I don't expect it to be much of a difference. But you look back ever since the college football playoff started since 2015, the national championship games, Ohio State and Oregon was disappointing. I remember watching that one. Ohio State won 42-20. Marcus Mariota was the quarterback of the Oregon Ducks. Alabama beat Clemson. That was a classic 45-40. Then the next year, another classic. Clemson beats Alabama 35-31. Alabama-Georgia in 2018 was phenomenal. You are right on that one with Tua Tagovailoa coming off the bench to replace Jalen Hurts at halftime of a national title game 26-23. Then you did have Clemson blowing out Alabama 44-16. LSU blowing out Clemson 42-25. Alabama blowing out Ohio State 52-24. Georgia beating up Alabama pretty good last year, 33-18, and now I think Georgia just got another rushing touchdown. So this game, you could open it up right now And if even if TCU marches down the field and gets a touchdown, what does this mean? But this feels like Notre Dame, Alabama from, what was that, 2012, Hickey, I believe?
2012, yes, sir.
Yeah, 2012. This is on the verge, if this extra point is good, and it is, of being 31-7. Yikes. This is ugly. This is really ugly. If you're a Georgia fan, though, and this was not a hot ticket at SoFi Stadium, because I guess, Hickey, if you're a Georgia fan and you have to spend all your resources to go to a game, you pretty much did that last year. When Ohio State and Michigan were in the semifinals, I looked at the ticket price at SoFi Stadium. It was like $1,200, $1,300 after Ohio State lost to Georgia and after Michigan lost to TCU. I saw tickets. I don't know what it was right before kickoff, but I saw tickets last week for $450, $500 to go sit in the nosebleeds of SoFi Stadium, which is a wonderful stadium. But that's a massive, and I mean a massive fall off in the ticket price. So I guess you could have gathered some resources if you're a Georgia fan. But if you're at this game right now, this just becomes an absolute booze fest in the second half, and you're just partying. And if you're a TCU fan and you drop the money in the game, it's not like you're going to leave. You're not going to leave. It's the final game of the season. You're not going to leave SoFi Stadium, even though it may not have been the cost of a ticket of a more opulent national championship game. It's still $400 or $500 that you probably dropped the ticket to get into the building if you're sitting even all the way up top. So this, you know, this also reminds me of, Hickey, if you want to relate it to an NFL game, this reminds me of Seahawks Broncos at MetLife Stadium, which I was at. Those are the two games I think of right now. Seahawks, Broncos, Super Bowl, MetLife Stadium, Alabama, Notre Dame, national championship game. Now, was that the same national champion? Alabama's been in so many. Was that the Catherine Webb national championship game?
The Notre Dame one, yes, because right? Brent Musburger needed something to talk about when it's like 42-0 in the third quarter. Yeah, you're going to need something to talk about, and it happened to be...
It's good to be the Alabama quarterback.
A.J. McCarron's at the time girlfriend, that is for sure.
Who's now his wife.
Yes, yes, oh yeah.
Yeah, so they showed you so much of J.J. McCarthy's family in the semifinal round. I don't know what Stetson's Bennett girlfriend looks like, but Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit are going to need something to talk about here in the second half, because this is just a disaster. Is he using an oxygen mask there, Stetson Bennett?
He's out of breath. You're going up and down the field 100 yards at a time. I mean, doesn't matter where they start. The 8-yard line, the 10-yard line, the 13. They're going right down the field, no problem. So if I'm Stetson, I need oxygen too.
I forget what show it was. I want to say it was Good Morning America. But remember last year when he won the national championship against Alabama? And let's just say he was a little bit banged up. So I know that you got to enjoy the moment and obviously party with your teammates. I don't fault him for doing that. But I guess... if you're in that moment and you're Stetson Bennett, how many times are you going to be asked to go on Good Morning America so you don't say no? And I don't even know if the SID gave him a chance to say no last year. But that's rough when you wake the player up, or he probably didn't even go to sleep, right from partying to, oh, here's a bright and early 7:30 a.m. Eastern time interview with, I think it was Good Morning America, and he even said that he was pretty banged up during that interview. It was pretty obvious. I guess the good news here for Stetson Bennett, you could party in the locker room at halftime. You could light the victory cigar at halftime, maybe even mix in a few drinks and tell Kirby Smart, I'm not even playing the second half, and it wouldn't matter here at 31-7. Because if we're on the air tomorrow and we're talking about a 28-3 type of collapse, like what the Falcons did in the Super Bowl to the Patriots, like this is not happening with Georgia up against TCU. I know you never want to say never, but 42 seconds away from the end of the first half, this 31-7, Georgia, start partying now, because this one is over, folks. The fat lady started to sing like two touchdowns ago, it probably feels like.
I hate to say it, that Georgia is going to, I was late about saying before the pick, they might score again here with 40 seconds left and third down and long, and yeah, it might be 38-7 by the time halftime comes around.
This is as big of a nightmare as you could get. And I would tell you this, if you're a Michigan fan right now, not that I think you would have beat Georgia, but you got to be losing your mind. Even though a lot of Michigan fans overlooked TCU, I thought that was going to be a close game, but I thought Michigan was going to win. If you're a Michigan fan, where how many missed opportunities there were in the game for you, And I don't even know if you would want to be in this spot because Georgia probably beats you up. I don't know if they beat you up this good. But if you're a Michigan fan, don't you have to be saying to yourself, how the heck did you lose to TCU? And that's not taking anything away from TCU. We have probably been the biggest TCU supporters on national radio. We had Sonny Dykes on this show when no one would talk to him. We've been talking about TCU ever since they really got off to that 3-0 start, and we've been following them, and we've been supportive, and anytime people have tried to take away from this team, like Hickey has been really behind the scenes just yelling at people and doing everything, but to be getting embarrassed like this at 31-7, I don't think it should take away from their season because they had a remarkable season and they won last week, but it now feels like last week was their national championship, to better say it, for TCU, because to get embarrassed on this stage, and it's a remarkable accomplishment just to be there if you're TCU. And I know everyone tomorrow is going to do the topic of, oh, TCU didn't belong. Well, then who else should have got there? Because Ohio State, as Georgia, Stetson Bennett just threw another touchdown, so extend that lead. Ohio State didn't beat Georgia. And you could only go up against who their matchup is. Michigan lost to TCU. If people are going to make the case for Alabama, you got to have enough on the resume. Now, how many times are we looking to put Alabama into the college football playoff even when they fall? Alabama didn't have the resume this year to get in. So if you look at this from a TCU perspective, Hickey, you know people are going to say tomorrow they didn't belong. Who else are you going to put in? And they already won a semifinal game. So you can't make the case. And I wouldn't do that. Michigan didn't belong and all that stuff as well. But you know that conversation, Hickey, is inevitable tomorrow where people are going to be saying, I already see it over Twitter now. TCU should have never been here. TCU should have never been here. Isn't it funny how quickly people forget, even though Georgia is destroying, absolutely destroying TCU, isn't it funny how quickly people forget that TCU did beat Michigan when everyone said, oh, I don't know if I would have put TCU in the playoff to begin with.
And you're an idiot if you're saying, not you, but if anyone's saying TCU shouldn't be in the play, like in the college football playoff
or
in the title, you're an idiot. Then I don't want to like block, get them off Twitter permanently. Elon Musk, let's kick them off, because these people do not have the brain capacity to actually be able to type out a thought if we're actually having that conversation.
Well, I don't know if we should be advocating for knocking people off Twitter for having stupid thoughts, because I think both of us have some stupid things to say from time to time. As well,
100%, but nothing as bad as TCU doesn't. I can't believe this is an atrocity that they're in this game. They shouldn't have been here.
Like they beat Michigan.
I don't even have that.
Just remember that. That's why I think if you're a Michigan fan, you're going nuts during this game, because there are Michigan fans, even though TCU beat them and was up big from the start, there's a lot of Michigan fans that feel like they left a lot of points there on the field, and there was many things that. Whether it was the stupid Philly special play, getting to the one after the reversal and then fumbling the ball, like they just made stupid mistakes. Not that I think Michigan's beating Georgia, but I think this makes it even tougher for the Michigan fan just to see how their team was not ready to go for that game. And then you see Georgia do what they're doing right now to TCU with it 38-7.
A quick question on that. If you're a Michigan fan or even just a fan in general and you lost the way Michigan did, does it make it ease? Is the loss eased by seeing TCU, the doors blow off, and you say, okay, you know, we probably wouldn't have won, but maybe we kept it a little closer, but okay, we weren't beating this Georgia team, like no one's getting in their way. Or is it worse if TCU, let's say, lost on a last-second field goal to Georgia, and it was just an incredible back-and-forth game, you said, well, we should have beat TCU, and now here they are giving Georgia, like, what's worse, getting TCU smoked or TCU losing like a last-second field goal?
I think it's TCU getting blown out, because it shows you. Or if you're a Michigan, I'm just trying to take this from the view of a Michigan fan. If you're a Michigan fan, you could admit that the better team just won that day. Or you could look at it and say, man, we messed this up. We messed that up. We messed this up. We messed that up. And then you see Georgia just blowing out TCU, and it makes you think, oh, it was more of us than TCU beating us, fair or not, in that conversation. And it's probably more infuriating that TCU is getting destroyed this much than if you get, I guess, like a little bit of a consolation prize, TCU lost by 3, so okay, we could tip the cap and say that they were the better team. I think it's more frustrating the other way.
I'd argue it's more frustrating if TCU lost on less than a field goal, because like I said, Michigan should have won the game. They gave a lot of it away, and it got to the point where I think the pressure switched to TCU just because of how bad Michigan was playing. And it's like if TCU was able to push Georgia to the brink and you lose 38-35 last second field goal, if you're Michigan, you say, well, we're a little bit more talented than TCU. We match up a little bit better than, you know, compared to Georgia.
No, but
that could have been us being a national champ instead of 38-7 right now in the first half.
But I think if you're a Michigan fan, you know down deep, even though you left a lot of points on the field, that TCU played the better game. So I think that if they end up losing by, let's say, and this is not going to happen, and this shows you just how bad this game is that we're even talking about this. If TCU then loses to Georgia by three, I think then naturally you go, okay, maybe they're better than what I thought, where if they're getting blown out, I think it just tugs at you more and saying, wow, we really did blow a golden opportunity. Now, you can get into the conversation, too. If you're Michigan, and I know it's different if it's Ohio State, because then if you're Ohio State fan, you're thinking to yourself, wow, if we would have beat Georgia, if Georgia's doing this to TCU, we would have smoked TCU as well. But I always ask this question, and I think it's always a dumb question, but this really does make me understand some people better. Would you rather, like, let's say if this was Penn State, Hickey, would you rather, if you were Penn State, lose in the semifinal or get to the championship game but get embarrassed in the championship game?
Get to the championship game.
I agree.
Get, and, without a doubt.
And I always find it funny, that guy, Ben Volen in Boston, Trollin' Volen, he, Ben, I remember before one of these Super Bowls, it was, I think, the Eagles, the second Eagles Super Bowl for the Patriots. He wrote an article, if Brady doesn't win this Super Bowl, it would have been better if he would have lost in the AFC title game than get to another Super Bowl. And there are some people, like Mike Francesa is an absolute legend in this business. He would always say about Joe Montana, oh, well, Montana never lost in a Super Bowl. He's 4-0. Brady has lost in a Super Bowl. But Mike, Brady, not to make this a Brady-Montana argument, Brady has significantly been to more Super Bowls. So we're just going to reward quarterbacks, or we're going to reward players for losing earlier or not getting to the postseason more times. Like, I never got that conversation. I would rather, even if you get embarrassed on a stage like this, and it's different for TCU because no one thought this TCU season was coming, but if I am a team that could win a playoff game and then get just embarrassed in a championship game or whatever, it's like win an AFC title game, an NFC title game, and then get embarrassed in a championship game, even though that's tough, I'd still rather lose in the championship game than lose earlier. I don't understand people that say they'd rather lose earlier because, oh, no one remembers who loses the AFC and NFC title game, or no one remembers who loses in the semifinal game. They only remember who loses in the championship game. I'd still rather lose in the championship game because at least I got there. That's just me.
And you don't have the joy, or at least you have the joy. If you're TCU beating Michigan, you have the whole week to live up to it. Right. And even though you don't, it's still, you still had that week that no other school outside of Georgia had as well.
All right, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. We will come on back, and we will chat about the landscape of the NFL. As we know, our 14 playoff teams, and Black Monday is here. Two more jobs opened up, as we did see the Cardinals say goodbye to Cliff Kingsbury, and in no surprise, the Texans say goodbye to Lovie Smith. So your open jobs right now, Broncos, Cardinals, Texans, Colts, and Panthers.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. 38-7 at half. Yeah. It's not TCU up. It's Georgia, if you were wondering. Hickey, when we look back at this past NFL regular season, as now we know the 14 teams that are going to the postseason, who's the team that you were most impressed by this year? I'll have you give your answer first, then I'll give mine.
I know they missed the playoffs, but it's got to be the Detroit Lions. Like, look, you go back to even Hard Knocks when Jamal Williams is crying. And I'll be honest, as someone who thought they could be kind of near, you know, 7 wins, maybe 8 wins, be a little more competitive than people think, I was even kind of laughing at him, you know, getting emotional about last year and how they're better than this. And I still have a question about Dan Campbell. And you look, they get off to, I think it was, what, a 1-6 start. And it's like, okay, classic Lions. They can score, can't stop anyone. And to turn around the second half the way they have, where the defense got a lot better, Jared Goff, for the most part, played some real solid to, like, pretty good football for a lot of this year. Like, I think it has to be, for me, the Lions, when you know, have perpetual losers, and now you finish off the season the way they did last night. I'll go Lions.
So there's so many teams that you could put in here, because the Jaguars, 9-8, they were the number one overall pick a year ago where they took Trayvon Walker. You look at the Giants. Who would have ever thought they would be in the postseason? Not only in the postseason, that division was really good this year, with the Eagles at 14-3, the Cowboys at 12-5. The Giants end up going 9-7-1, and even the Commanders, they just had a quarterback. They probably would have gotten in the postseason. They were 8-8-1. You also look at the Seahawks. That's a team that, when they traded Russell Wilson, we thought, okay, when was Pete Carroll going to walk away? When was he going to retire? Because there's no way they were going to rebuild it. And that's got to be the thing that I'm most impressed with. Because Geno Smith looked really competent this year. He's the most passing yards, the most yards in a single season by a Seahawks player. Like, that's wild. So for me, Hickey, I got to go with the Seahawks. Now, as I said, I can't really argue your Lions point. I can't really argue if you're going to tell me the Giants, if you're going to tell me the Jaguars, because these are all just absolute scenarios that we would have never thought before the year. Like, if you would have told me before the year that Geno Smith would have been in the playoffs, that Daniel Jones would be in the playoffs, and the Jaguars would get in, probably the most believable out of the three would have been the Jaguars. Just maybe that AFC South was horrible and Doug Peterson got the best out of Trevor Lawrence. I'm not saying it would have been likely, but compared to the other two, Ryan, the Giants and the Seahawks, I think the Jaguars out of those three would have been most likely.
And even if you want to throw in the 49ers of Brock Purdy, who's been there for, what, six games? Like, it's still, I know the roster's insane.
They were 3-4 at one point, haven't lost since.
And it's like they're doing so with a third-string quarterback for, what, the last seven games, I believe it is, or six games. There's been a lot of great stories. A lot.
Who wins Coach of the Year? Because I think if you had to put it down to a final four list, and you tell me if you agree with these names, Pete Carroll going to the playoffs, Brian Daboll going to the playoffs, Doug Peterson going to the playoffs, Kyle Shanahan going to the playoffs. Now, I know some people could say Mike Tomlin give him votes, Dan Campbell give him votes, and I totally hear you on that. But there's got to be a tiebreaker here somewhere, and I think when you don't get into the postseason, even though Tomlin and Campbell both did great jobs this year, I don't think they could win the Coach of the Year this season. So it seems like to me, and you tell me if you agree or not, it's down to Pete Carroll, Brian Daboll, Kyle Shanahan, and Doug Peterson. Would those be your final four here?
Yes, they would be.
And it's so weird because you look at the 49ers, they have the best roster out of the four. But I think Shanahan's going to win it because they've won 10 games in a row. Like, don't get me wrong. Pete Carroll this year, masterful coaching job. Brian Daboll, for most of the year, was my pick for Coach of the Year. Doug Peterson, his team came on strong late. They went into the playoffs. In a year where we haven't seen a lot of dominance, Shanahan may have had the most dominant effort by a coach because they haven't lost in 10 straight games. And they're doing it with, it's one thing if you would have told me they'd be 13-4, but they would be doing this with Jimmy G. If you would have told me that both Trey Lance and Jimmy G went down, I would have never said that they would have ended the year off the way that they've ended. But that's what they've done. Now, I think this is a little bit of a loaded question to you, but I have to ask it because I said I would ask it. Who's the team that disappointed you the most this year? Hot take, Kiki. I guess this is the last time we could ask you this question because then it's past the statute of limitations. Go ahead. And even Marco smiled like a fat kid in a candy store because it wasn't that long ago where the hot take artist of hot name Hot Take Kiki, Russell Wilson's winning the Super Bowl, Nathaniel Hackett's going to be a top three coach of the year. I'm just wondering, who is your most disappointing team of this season? I can't
team
guess
that
this one.
Had Super Bowl expectations, and now their draft pick is sitting at, I think, 6 or 5, whatever it is. So, yeah, I'll go
with
that.
They don't even have it, so who cares?
Right. Well, it just goes to highlight and emphasize just how far they have fallen. It's not like they missed the playoffs or were 8-9. Like, they were bad. So I will go to the Denver Broncos.
So I didn't think the Broncos were going to be a playoff team before the start of the season, but I thought they'd be like 8-9, 9-8. I didn't think they'd be as pathetic as 5-12 and the coach would get fired after year one. I would say my most disappointing team this year, it's going to be Green Bay. Because if you would have told me before the start of the year, even with missing Davante Adams and him going to the Raiders, that they were going to miss the playoffs, my first response would have been, well, did Aaron Rodgers get hurt? Like, did Aaron Rodgers miss significant time? It's inconceivable to me how this team just couldn't even weather the storm. And even with all of their incompetence this year, they still had a chance to win and be in. And what makes this one probably the most disappointing is just the arrogance from Aaron Rodgers that when a team already beat you in the Detroit Lions early in the year, you chalked it up as to you making mistakes. As we were moving the ball, but then we turned the ball over too many times in the red zone. You kind of looked at the Lions as you have your entire career, that they were gum on your shoe, and you thought you were just going to roll over them. And now in back-to-back-to-back years, at Lambeau Field, your season comes to a close. And in 2020, the offense stalled. In 2021, in that season, you had an opening drive touchdown, then nothing after that. And this year, only scored 16 points, and you had a crucial pick late. So for me, it is obviously the Green Bay Packers. Now, Tampa could have been in consideration if they missed the playoffs, but they ended up making the playoffs. If I said I give you a freebie, because everyone knows what your most disappointing team is, who would have been your next most disappointing team if I told you to take the Broncos off the table? Because I'm surprised that you didn't pick one team here if you don't go this way. But go ahead.
I would say the Raiders.
Thank you. That was the team that I thought you were going to go with.
Colts in consideration as well. Top five, top four probably in the terms of disappointing this year. But, I mean, the Raiders.
But no one ever thought the Colts were really going to be that great heading into the season. It's more so, oh, their division stinks. They got Matt Ryan. Tennessee lost A.J. Brown. So someone has to win that division.
It was still a, you know, you figured, you what would you say, the Colts, 9 wins, 10 wins. Like, it was, they were going to be at least 500. And they're picking four. Like, they're 4-12-1.
Yeah, they were hard.
They stink. But Raiders team that went to the playoffs last year, you get Devonta Adams, you get Chandler Jones, you're supposed to bring in the answer and Josh McDaniels, and boy, oh boy,
did we find out that quickly. This is the portion of the programmer Hickey loves, just pouring salt into a wound of the Raiders
fans.
Not
the answer.
Now, if you have one wish for next year, realistic wish, and don't make it some Colts garbage, what would be your wish for next season? Because I know what my wish is.
I can make it the Colts.
It has to be like, don't make it something that's like so obvious. If you had to have a magical wish for next year, like a genie comes
down. You go first,
then.
I got to think about this.
Okay, I know what my wish is. Well, because I'm a fan of seeing you suffer a little bit, Hickey. I would love to see Josh McDaniels next year go on the Bleep U Tour. I do not think this is going to happen, but I would love to see McDaniels make the playoffs next year. That would be my wish, even though it's not going to happen, just because I would love to bring back some of your old takes on this, but that's just me.
All right, you could play that game. You know my wishes then? Matt Patricia back as offense coordinator.
Touche. Well,
Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, the offensive brain trust in New England once again.
Well done. Okay. Well, remember, your Christmas gift is going to go down for next year. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Cody in California. Cody, chill like a villain. What's up?
Yo, what is up, my man?
How you been? Go ahead. What you got?
Oh, nothing. I just I happened to see that you tweeted earlier about how this championship game is kind of comparing to the Alabama-Notre Dame game. So I just wanted to kind of stop you in your tracks real quick and say this is much more of a blowout, even though we were down 28-0 at halftime. TCU's down 31 right now. I don't really see them even getting within, you know, 25, 26.
Cody, so, now I know Notre Dame was horrible to start the year. I know Notre Dame was horrible to start the year, and they finished up the season on a good note. But you can't be this pathetic of a Notre Dame fan to say, "Oh, our blowout wasn't as bad as this blowout."
I don't think you understand the depth of my pettiness, Zach.
You got it. I also know, because you've called me since the overnight days, that you're a big Cowboys fan. Dak Prescott?
Yes, sir.
Missed 5 games, led the league in interceptions. Woof. Where's the confidence level of the Cowboys, Cody?
Oh, well, I have been saying since pretty much day one that Dak Prescott never should have been the starting quarterback. I was a big Tony Romo guy. I actually thought that even in 2016 when he got hurt in the preseason and Dak went on the big winning streak and we had the number one seed, lost to the Packers, I still thought Tony Romo would have been the best option. But obviously, you know,
never healthy.
Having the record that we did, you know, it just made sense to start Dak. I'm not a Dak believer. I think some of his throws are just completely errant. And to be completely honest with you, he kind of looks a little bit like Max Duggan right now, just throwing stuff out there and hoping somebody grabs one. So my playoff hopes are not very high right now.
Well, Cody, we're taking massive steps here because this is the first time that you've ever called me where you don't tell me your team's going to win by 40 points.
Oh, no way. No, I'm a realist. Listen.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Cody, I got to run, but thank you. No, you're not. You've been calling me ever since I did the weekend overnights, and every time you get on me for doubting Notre Dame and doubting your Cowboys. That's the first realistic thing Cody from California has ever said. Real quickly, I want to run the poll question by Marco Belletti tonight. Week one of 2023, Aaron Rodgers will be, you got to fill in the blank, starting for the Packers, starting for a new team, or retired.
Packers.
I'm with you.
He comes back.
Hickey for the third year in a row is predicting that he's going to be starting for a new team. Now, we're in the minority here. Only 28% do agree with us starting for the Packers. 34% say starting for a new team. 38% say retired. Now, I'll take it a step further. Let's say we're both wrong. And I do fully believe he's going to be starting for the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I said it all last year. I'll say it all this year again. Is it for a new team or is it retirement?
New team. He's not walking away. He's not ready.
Because of the money, I would probably say I could see that road of argument with how much this money is guaranteed in this deal. But you hear him speak last night. When I just heard him speak, I got the vibe it was either retirement or come back for Green Bay. Because he was asked straight up, would you ever play for another team? And he was like, I don't want to get too caught up in the heat of the moment. I would never say never.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like he was about to say never, but then he caught himself.
Yeah, there. I don't buy it. I think it's because in his mind, it's they want me and I'm only going to be here because they want me to be here and I want to be here. They come to him and say, Aaron, it's Jordan Love, period. You either retiring or we trade you. Would not shock me if he goes, I'm not going out like this.
Would motivate him a little bit too.
Yeah, I don't buy it. He's only going out if he wants to go out. If the Packers make the decision for him and say, look, we need to turn the page, Aaron Rodgers is not going to just be like, you know what? I don't want to go somewhere else. It's not going to be Eli Manning where it's, hey, man, I just wanted to be a Giant. I don't want to extend my career two more years and, you know, maybe struggle or maybe have something left. Rodgers doesn't believe any of that stuff. I don't buy it. So if he wants to walk away, so be it. If the Packers say to him, we're done with you, that's going to light a fire under his ass and he's going to go somewhere else.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back with the closing bell, tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
38-7, second half underway. Georgia on their way to back-to-back national championships. As this is just an absolute blowout right now. Like, this is Seahawks, Broncos in the Super Bowl. This is also Alabama, Notre Dame in that national championship game. Now, 10 years ago, this is as bad as bad could get. As you know what, Hickey? I thought after the show tonight, this is how naive I was going to rush home and quickly just get in an Uber afterwards. And I was like, I was going to miss my walk home, which is very peaceful to just be able to walk home for 25 minutes when you get caught up in this world. I can tell you this. I don't need to watch this second half. I could walk home in about 5 minutes when this show ends. There is zero reason. Even if you gambled on it, you plus the points. There's no way TCU is coming back to cover this spread, just bare minimum. This is over.
Yeah, it's definitely a sour way to end the 2022 season, that's for sure. But
what can you do?
They're ready for next year. Let's go.
Oh, next year, Georgia's schedule. Here's Georgia's schedule next year. UT Martin, Ball State, South Carolina. Big moment for our friend Shane Beamer. UAB, at Auburn, Kentucky, at Vanderbilt, Florida, Missouri, Ole Miss, at Tennessee, at Georgia Tech. Good to hear a word tomorrow. Good to hear it tonight. Dynasty in the making. That's what they could be. Now, you'll see how they are next year, but with that schedule, a lot of cupcakes on that schedule there, hot take, Hickey.
Yeah, it's not exactly a daunting, daunting schedule that many in the SEC would want you to believe it is. That's for sure.
Oh, come on. Many in the Big Ten do the same thing. Let's not get carried away here.
One less non-conference game. Okay. Are they playing UT Martin right, and Little Sisters of the Poor? We'll discuss, but...
Yeah, because Penn State never plays a few cupcake schools throughout the
year. Everyone does it. Everyone does it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, just saying. Only when you use the arguments to your advantage, not when they go in the disadvantage. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down.
Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Pete Carroll, no one gave you a chance this year. You're 9-8, and you're heading to the postseason. And Ryan Hot Take Hickey owes you a big apology because he was planning your retirement tour. Now you're off into the playoffs. You won the trade against Russell Wilson. What a beautiful moment. Give a stock up to Pete Carroll. Dan bites your kneecaps off Campbell. The Lions started 1-6. We were thinking the Lions would fire Dan Campbell after this year. They end the year 9-8. They beat the Packers twice this season. Give Dan Campbell a stock up. Doug Peterson, Urban Meyer, you're a disgrace. NFL head coach, horrible. Legendary college coach, we know that. But in the NFL, your team hated you. The locker room hated you. And your team was the number one overall pick. Peterson comes in, gets him to the playoffs. Give a stock up to Doug Peterson. Kyle Shanahan, 10 in a row. Probably going to be coach of the year in the NFL as the Niners are the 2 seed as they're down to their third-string quarterback in Brock Purdy. Give a stock up to Kyle Shanahan. We continue to get only good news on DeMar Hamlin, and that is great news. And yesterday, as it was his final day in the hospital in Cincinnati before getting moved back to Buffalo to continue his rehab, he got to watch his Bills beat the Patriots. And Nyheim Hines, who had 2 kickoff returns in the game, opened the game up with a 96-yard kickoff return. This is how it sounded on Bills Radio.
Folt puts his foot into the ball. It's going to be short. Fielded at the 4 by Hines. Coming straight up the middle to the 20. Cuts it back at the 25. He's got an alley down the right sideline to the 40. 50. Down to the 40. 35. 30. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. Nyheim Hines. 96 yards. Run, run as fast as you can. You're not catching Hines. He's your end zone man. Buffalo on the board with the first play from scrimmage.
What a scene it was yesterday in Buffalo. Give the entire Bills organization a stock up. Steve Keim out. Cliff Kingsbury out. Kyler Murray still there, albeit banged up with an injury. But the Cardinals, yikes, what a disastrous season this was. You had an ominous feel about them when DeAndre Hopkins is going to be out for the first 6 games. Then the Murray injury happens. And then after extending Cliff and Keim through 2027 for the start of this year, now they are both out with the Cardinals. Stock down to Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim. Nick Caserio. Somehow this guy's going to be able to hire a third coach. Now, don't get me wrong. No one believed in Dave Culley. No one believed in Lovie Smith. But what was the point, even though Dave Culley didn't do a good job, what was the point in firing Dave Culley if you were going to bring in Lovie Smith and then fire him a year later? I know they wanted Flores. I know they also wanted Josh McCown. But it looks really bad. And not only that, why does this guy get to hire a third head coach? And the most embarrassing thing, you need a thank you tweet to Lovie Smith? Oh, what are you thanking him for? Yeah, you paid him. Okay? A thank you to him for what? 1 year and that's it? Stock down to Nick Caserio. Aaron Rodgers. Arrogant Aaron. Shame on you. You overlooked the Lions and they burned you last night in the fourth quarter. Stock down to the Packers quarterback. Stock down to Dak Prescott. You missed 5 games this year. You still lead the league in interceptions. That's inconceivable to me. Stock down to Dak Prescott. And finally, the Texans. You had the number one overall pick. All you had to do was lose. You're up by 10 twice. Then the Colts get the lead. And it looked like the Texans were going to lose. Then you convert 4th-and-20, go for 2, you get the 2. And you win the game and you fall down to the second spot. Now you may have to trade up to get your quarterback or someone else trades up, assuming the Bears fall back. And if you like both Young and Stroud, then you'll get whoever the other team doesn't pick. But the real stock down here is Hickey, who, when I went to him 2.5 months ago and I said, hey, you should be advocating for Bryce Young. No. I don't believe in that. Now all we're seeing from Hot Take Hickey is tweet oh, the Colts are going to trade up. The Colts are going to take Bryce Young. Well, that's all we're seeing. So, Texans, you did this to yourself because you won the game when you should have lost. So, stock down to the Texans once again. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will be back mañana, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Talking, I guess, this national championship game if we have to. It is ugly. Brock Bowers just scored again. Touchdown, Georgia. Ay, ay, ay. Well, the rat was already on. Now this is just getting to be pathetic. But yeah, bye-bye, everybody. Peace.